Well, of course, as we know, this Thursday's Thanksgiving. I know some of you are so glad. You know, you're off work, out of school. It's always a nice time, a time to be thankful. And this morning, we're going to look at what real Thanksgiving is. Not that this Thursday is not real Thanksgiving, but it's, you know, a date on the calendar that was picked, you know, back in the 1800s to be thankful in our country. But, you know, for the believer in Christ, really, every day is Thanksgiving. Especially the Sundays that we gather together to worship. These are days that we come together to thank the Lord for who He is. The book of Psalms, is 150 psalms. The Hebrew word for psalms is praise, and the Greek word is songs. The psalms were sacred songs that were set to musical accompaniment, and it basically was the Hebrews' hymn book. And you know, when you go through the psalms, there's every emotion that we go through. There's joy. There's loneliness. There's darkness. There's triumph. The psalms express all those range of human emotions that all people everywhere experience. Today we're going to look at Psalm 100, which is a psalm for thanksgiving. Literally, that's what the superscription says, the title above it. And the word thanksgiving there, if you have the King James, I think it says praise, but thanksgiving literally meant confession. So the Hebrew word could be a confession of sin or a confession of God's character and work. And that's exactly what Psalm 100 is. It declares, it confesses who God is, what His character is like. And so Psalm 100, the psalmist exhorts the congregation to worship the Lord with gladness because He is God and thank Him because He is good. We don't know who wrote it, but just like the Israelites the last few thousands of years, it calls our attention to focus on thanksgiving because of who God is. So let's do that today. Let's look at Psalm 100. In verses 1 through 3, it talks about because He is God. Psalm 100, verse 1. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. That word shout joyfully literally meant to raise a noise. It could either be done by your voice or by a trumpet blast. And so what it's saying right here is a call of all four corners of the earth, everybody, to recognize who God is. To shout joyfully to Him. You know, Hebrew people were very expressive people, much more so than our congregation was. You know, over the years, and people always tell me, you know, I just wanted to shout amen when you were preaching. I was like, why don't you do it? I'm okay with that. Some people say, well, I just want to stand up. And got to be careful. We're not going to start the wave in here, okay? But it's okay to be expressive when we gather together to worship God. I mean, think about it. And I know it's not a football game, but I know some of you, you know, when the Saints or LSU or whoever your team is playing, I bet you're pretty expressive. Not always good. So when we come together to worship, we come together to acknowledge who God is. I mean, He's the greatest of all. So the psalmist says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. And he says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Serve Him, notice, with gladness, not with duty. See, it's a privilege to serve. It should never be a ball and chain around you. I mean, part of worship is serving. We have so many people in the church who do so much. If you were here a few weeks ago when we had the Fall Festival, I was amazed at how many people were doing things. You know, all the games and all the food back there. I mean, it was just amazing how many people were serving, how many adults and young people, teenagers. You come here on a Wednesday night, Awana. I mean, I'm blown away how many people are involved with Awana. Sunday mornings, ushers, greeters, the children's ministry, food. Every Sunday, the worship team up here. Now, I want to say thank you for all the service that everybody does. But having said that, let me also say we still need more. The youth group always needs somebody to help out with on Sunday nights. Sunday mornings, we always need more people to be involved with as ushers, greeters, snack providers, teachers. So I'm just encouraging you to do that. Don't do it just because Jerry made me feel guilty. I don't want to motivate you in that way. I hope you understand that service is part of worship. So people say, well, I don't want to miss, you know, the Sunday morning. Hey, when you're serving, that's just as much worshiping as when you're in here. So he says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing and outward expression. You know, throughout the scripture, we're constantly told to sing to the Lord, to have a melody in our hearts. Paul writes this in Ephesians 5, verse 18 and 19. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Be filled, be controlled by the Spirit. You know, when you're controlled with wine, people act pretty stupid. When you're controlled by the Spirit, he says, one of the evidences, you're speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You're singing and making melody in your heart. When we sing out to God, we express our praise to him, our worship to him. You know, God is not interested in your voice. He's interested in your heart. When you come on Sunday mornings and you sing out, nobody's auditioning for the choir. But you are preparing yourself for eternity. Look at the book of Revelations, how much singing goes on in heaven. We're going to be singing for the rest of our time in heaven, so you might as well start now. You know, one of the joys, and I mean this, of sitting in that front row every Sunday is the singing that this church does. I hear everybody behind me, the music team in front of me. It's incredible. One of the reasons that it's good to sit in the front. I'm serious. Because when I sit in the back at times, you can't hear just how loud our church sings. It blesses my heart. Sometimes I don't even want to get up here and preach. It's like, oh man, I'm filled up right where I'm at. We sing out with our voice. You know, another method to my madness, I sit in the front because nobody else can hear me, too. I'm back there. Somebody's been, you know, who's that guy? But it doesn't matter. To me, it doesn't, okay? Because it's about the Lord that we're singing to. Yesterday, when we were around here, we had pictures taken. There was a lot of people around here. Little Kaylee was here, and she was just singing out loud. You know, making up words, you know, just singing. I'll tell you what, you know, one like, oh, who's that beautiful singing? No, it was just a melody from my heart. It brought joy to my heart. You know, it always does when you hear a little child sing, right? You just love it. That little voice is singing out to you. Not to you, but just singing out. That's how God is with us. Doesn't care how good that little baby's singing. When you hear a child, especially if it's your own child, right? Man, I remember my kids, well, I love, you know, when they at that stage, they just sing. It's like, oh, you can just listen to that. That's how God is with us. He doesn't say, well, you know, your octave's too high there. Could you, you know, he doesn't care. It's a melody in our hearts that we sing out to the Lord. So we gather together to worship, to praise him, because he is God. Verse 3, Know that the Lord himself is God, and is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. See, to know he's not just talking about intellectual assent, you know, list all the characteristics of God, but he's talking about being involved with God, knowing him intimately. That is the sense of experiencing God, okay? And that is a prime essential that we gather together to worship. It's about God. You know, it's not about, you know, a show up here, entertainment, how can, you know. It's about we're worshiping God. We want to give him the glory, the honor, and the praise. Because he is God, he says it three times. Number one, know the Lord himself is God. He is the one true God. This goes back to Deuteronomy 6:4, which said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one." It's called the Shema, from the word hear, the Hebrew word hear. One true God who's revealed himself through the word of God. Not only is he himself God, but second, it is he who made us. Only the one true God has the power to create. I think he's probably talking, you know, primarily here about Israel, the nation of Israel, that he called Israel as a nation. Abraham was in the Ur of Chaldees, pagan. God called Abraham, and Abraham became the first Hebrew. And from Abraham, through his descendants, again, Moses and the nation of Israel, God created them, called them a nation. And he still does that today. We call it the church. His Holy Spirit calls people out of sin and darkness into light and life. So he created us. We're here today because he's brought us together. That always amazes me. I mean, God draws hearts, draws your heart to come and be part of this. Nobody makes you do it. You're not going to, you know, walk in the door. I mean, I guess if we started giving, you know, you $10 every time you came, son, I guess we'd get more people. But God is the one who made us into a body. And then third, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We are his people, the sheep. I mean, think about what's probably the most famous Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, David writes. He's the one who sustains Israel, sustains the church, sustains you, protects you, directs you, cares for you. The church, the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus says in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He's the one who laid down his life for the church, to call it to himself, to make it a body, to draw you individually, that he gave his life. So when we gather together to worship, he is indeed our shepherd. We are his people, sheep of his pasture. So when we gather together to worship, we gather together with an attitude of gratitude because of who God is. He is the one true God who's revealed himself in the world, generally, but specifically through the living word, the Bible. I mean, excuse me, the written word, the Bible, and the living word, Jesus Christ. So not only because he is God, but also because he is good. Verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Of course, he's speaking right there about coming to the temple in Jerusalem. Now, when we gather together here in the church, this building is not anything special. The place where we gather. Because the people are the church. God's spirit is within his people. So wherever two or three gathered in his name, there he is in the midst, right? So the building itself is not anything holy about it, but what makes it holy is God's people. So a little bit different than the temple here, but we still enter into the church when we come on Sunday mornings with thanksgiving. We enter into the church with praise. We give thanks to him. We bless his name. So it's a call to worship. As he did early, he's calling them back to worship. And that word bless, we bless his name, means to bend the knee, that we bend the knee in humility to who God is. So what are you thankful for? Hopefully there's a long list of things, and I'm going to give you a chance at the end of the service to share some things that God, that you want to share, that God, that you're thankful for. Because when we come together, we come to give him thanks for who he is. He's God, and because he is good. Matter of fact, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, Paul writes, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Everything. What about the bad things? Yeah. Well, how can I give thanks when something bad's happened? Well, you're not thankful for what happened, but you're thankful that you're in a relationship with God. He's over you. He's above you. He's your shepherd. He knows what's going on. It didn't catch him by surprise. You can trust him in the midst of the storm and the trouble and the trial and tribulation. Because when we recognize God in everything, we recognize that he is the sovereign Lord of all. So that's why Paul says, give thanks in everything. For this is God's will. Some people always struggle with God's will. What is God's will? I'm not sure. Well, here's a place to start. Being thankful. You want to know God's will for your life? Start looking at your blessings. Start seeing what God has done in your life. Start being thankful to him for all that you are and all that you have and everything around you. Again, we'll look at that in a moment. That's a good place to start for God's will. Well, back to Psalms 100 verse 5. For the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. God is good. That means he's morally upright. There's no evil in him. This is who he is. Just like God is love, everything that he does is out of love. Everything that God does is out of goodness. He's good all the time. Even when bad things happen, he's still good. He's good. That's who he is. And his goodness is seen in his loving kindness. The Hebrew word hesed is used about 250 times in the Old Testament. It talks about God's loyal, faithful love. It's his love that's combined with mercy. It stresses the idea of belonging together and those who are involved in this love relationship with God. And so not only is his goodness seen in his loving kindness, but also in his faithfulness. That is the idea of certainty, firm, secure, keeping his promises. You could take God's promises to the bank. You could bank on them. And his faithfulness is to all generations. God's unchanging. Same yesterday, today, and forever. He's been the same, will be the same. He's constant. He's consistent. So Psalm 100 is a psalm of thanksgiving. Now, what's the purpose of thanksgiving? We've kind of seen it right here, but let me kind of reiterate again. Number one, we acknowledge who God is. That's exactly what Psalm 100 is telling us right here. He's our creator. He's our sustainer. He's our savior. He is good. He's faithful. He has loving kindness. He's gracious. He's forgiving. We go on and on. We acknowledge who God is. That's the first purpose. But second, it promotes his glory, but also our humility. Just to make sure we don't miss this, he is God, we are not. Sometimes we forget that. So we recognize when we thank him, Lord, you are God. You are the creator. I am created. You are all wise. I'm limited. You are all powerful. I'm limited. So it humbles us. It keeps life in proper perspective. When we have God first, when he's Lord, everything else filters down below that. When I put me first up here, things filter down, but they kind of get a little haywire on the downspout. So we promote his glory, but also our humility. And then a third thing, it stimulates our faith. Listen, there's nothing like thankfulness when you come to the Lord that you remember his past mercies. When you're going through something, how am I going to make it? You know, I'm just out of sorts. Wait a minute. Remember back when this happened and how God took care of you, how God provided for you, how God was there, how God was faithful, how God was long-suffering? We need to do that often. You know, there's a place, you know, a few years ago, I wrote down, I think it was like 10 things, specific things in my life, no doubts that God was there and what he had done. Just so I would never forget those, that I remember those. So when you're in the middle of things, you know, maybe difficult things, you could be thankful because it stimulates our faith. We remember his past mercies. So how can we become more thankful? You know, our natural hearts are ungrateful. I mean, again, children, what an example, right? You got to teach them to say, thank you, right? Not give me. That's our natural hearts, all of us. You know, we want what we want. We want to kind of, you know, grab hold of everything we can. So our natural hearts must be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And that transformation is the work of the Holy Spirit as we fill our minds with the Word of God. Because as we come to the Word of God, we see who God is. He's revealed himself in his Word. And as we see who God is, we see ourselves in relationship to who he is, and things begin to fall into perspective. Because where else are you going to find gratefulness? You know, again, you look to the world, you look to advertisement, you look to what all the world has to offer, what it's always about. Me. The things I got to have, the things I need. Without these things, I'm a nobody. But so I got to get all these things. But you come to God's Word, you begin to see a different mindset. And as you come to God's Word, he begins to transform your mind. You begin to see things about God, who he is, about yourself. And hopefully, over time, this lifelong process, you become more thankful. So, thanksgiving for what? Thankful for what? I got a few big categories here. The first one is answered prayer. Yes and no. I don't know about you, but I am so thankful for some no's in my life. And if you look at your life, I'm sure you're the same. I'm glad God's told me no to some things that I really wanted. And I thought this was going to be good. It's like I look back and hindsight is like, oh my gosh. Thank you for protecting me from that. I like the yeses too. Okay? But answer prayer. What a thing to be thankful. God hears you. So don't be upset with him when he says no, because sometimes it's for your best to protect you. Thanksgiving for material blessings. Your health, your home, your automobile, your clothes, your job, your school, your political freedom, safety, money. All these things that we take for granted because we live in the United States of America. That alone is a material blessing. Amen? That we were born in this country, that we're not in, you know, Sudan right now, or Ethiopia, or Somalia. Dirt poor. Afraid to death that we might get caught, you know, worshiping Jesus. Spiritual blessings. At the top of the list, your personal salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible. Having a Bible again. I mean, we got a Bible we could come to and read, and probably most of us have more than one. The church. Other people in the church. Spiritual blessings, relational blessings, your spouse, your children, your parents, your brothers and sisters, your friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, those relationships that make life rich, that make life full of meaning. So all these things are things that we could be thankful for that God has blessed us with. So here's what I want to do right now. Here's the application part. You stand up, anybody. Thank God. For whatever might be on your heart right now. You might want to have just one word. You might briefly might want to share something. But we come to the place where we worship here at the church. And part of why we come is, again, we thank God for who he is, but that you can thank him for who he is or what he's done or what he's doing, whatever it is. So here's what I'm going to ask. You just stand up right where you are, speak out loud, say your name, and whatever you're thankful for. So I'm turning it over to you right now. Anybody?